Hi, my name's Peter Collins, and I'd just like to share some of my ideas about the August 10th Memorial. While many of us understand the meaning, background, and purpose of the August 10th Memorial Day, there are many who do not. I've heard many discussions and questions, even arguments, about August 10th. What is it about? What does it mean? Who it should represent? How it should be observed? How should community members observe the day? What is the correct wording? Is it Prison Justice Day? Is it Prisoner Justice Day? Or is it Prisoners Justice Day? Should corrections paid prison chaplains participate in the memorial? Should the memorial be faith-based? And should it be an observation in a prison chapel? Some have even discussed what should be done to people who don't observe the day properly. So large is this frustration and confusion that some prisoners have been hurt over their failure to observe the day. August 10th sprang from protest of horrible prison conditions in Canada. Prisoners struggled and many died. As a result of these struggles and deaths, prisoners of today have benefited. For those who suffered and died, we owe respect, indeed homage. Who could deny that we owe so much more to those souls who trudged some lonely and dangerous halls and softened some paths for some of us? As prisoners, we all have to choose for ourselves what it means to us and how it should be observed. At different times in our lives, it will touch us in different ways. As we experience the death of friends and family, or come to terms with our own responsibility for someone's death, the meaning of life and death will reach us in significantly different ways. How families, friends, and concerned community members honor and observe August 10th also has to be a personal choice. If people want to use the day as a political forum, or as a quiet day of reflection, or a day of fasting, let's be thankful for the support and celebrate the diversity, commitment, and concern. We need to respect each other's journey, and we need to refrain from judging and condemning others. There's far too many of that already going on, and it's never going to be useful to anything or anyone. As for the wording of the day, I've always questioned the very word justice being in the title. Justice is a beautiful word, full of hope and meaning, such as reconciliation, fairness, harmony, and so on. Our modern society has warped justice to mean punishment, retribution, and pain. Quibbling semantics over the wording is an empty argument that wastes energy. There will never be justice when prison is our first option to social problems. Millions of people are in prison today across the world, and when wrongful convictions resonate throughout the prison systems, when secret trials are held, when the color of your skin assigns you a higher chance of imprisonment, and in some countries even execution, when addicts are in prison for being addicts, when psychological guesswork masquerades as science and foretells of future criminal behavior and therefore validates extended imprisonment, when prisons are used as a tool for social control to house the homeless, the poverty-stricken, and the mentally ill, when prisoners are denied essential life-saving harm reduction prophylactic devices and medications, when people are imprisoned for sex trade work, or women are imprisoned for defending themselves. The list seems to go on forever. So I will end with there can be no justice while children are imprisoned. What about a faith-based service? In a Canadian prison, a service generally means a Christian service, and our population is multi-faith, multicultural, and multi-belief. So it would seem far more inclusive and respectful to be attentive to the wide variety of beliefs of our population. The Optimum platform would provide an opportunity for every belief, denomination, and culture to share their beliefs, thoughts, their music, and their ceremonial diversities. As for the question of who should be invited or allowed to preside over an August 10th service, it is self-evident that persons collecting pay from the prison branch of the government are not the appropriate representatives to hold an August 10th service, no matter what. On the topic of anger with other prisoners for eating or working on August 10th, it's imperative that we keep in mind that some prisoners have to eat due to illness, age, and other conditions, and it would be very wrong to direct or encourage anyone to compromise their health to observe August 10th. Notwithstanding legitimate health issues, I think it's a very sad commentary on us when we try to force others to observe a solemn day of mourning. Education and understanding will better serve to foster respect and observation of the day. Fear and intimidation is counterproductive to honoring August 10th and all it stands for. In my opinion, hurting, insulting, or ostracizing other prisoners because they don't understand or perhaps don't believe in the day would be disrespectful to the lost lives we observe on August 10th. Brought to the most extreme outcome, the following year we would have to observe someone else's passing. That would simply be another in a long line of prison obscenities. I personally don't want to think of anyone observing August 10th out of fear, and I hope people observe because they believe in it, nothing more and nothing less. As we share our heartfelt sorrow for those who have passed, I hope our common experience and link to such suffering awakens or renews our personal commitment and responsibility to help those we can today and try to improve the road for those people who will come behind us. We should keep in mind that August 10th is more than just about remembering. There are 364 other days in which the struggle continues both in the prisons and in the community. In the community, people are searching for solutions and calling out for changes in the justice system. Families and friends are out there banging their heads on the other side of the walls trying to put an end to the inequity, the racism, the prison-for-profit mentality, and the over-reliance on prison as a solution to social problems, and the absurd premise that putting people in cages is going to rehabilitate them. For those of you who don't know, August 10th initially started in 1975 in Millhaven Penitentiary outside of Kingston, Ontario, Canada. The impetus was the needless death of Eddie Nalin. His death was defined as suicide by the coroner's inquest, but clearly he was pushed into it. Eddie had been placed in long-term isolation and then finally released, only to be placed in it again days after and then repeatedly promised to be released. But the promises were lies. Eddie gave up and slashed his wrists. The guards ignored the emergency alarms, the screaming, the banging, and played poker until the end of their shift before they discovered Eddie dead. Before long, another prisoner, Bobby Landers, died in the isolation cells of a heart attack. His complaints of chest pain were ignored by the duty nurse, and his emergency button alarm was ignored by the guards in favor of their nightly poker game. Bobby's brother, Glenn, was later shot off Millhaven's fences as he tried to escape. Glenn slowly bled to death while the guards refused to go and pick him up between the fences. Next August 10th, no prisoners went to work, no prisoners spoke to prison staff, and no prisoners ate. And this was the start of a silent, nonviolent prisoner protest. A protest embraced by Canadian prisoners, which has spread across the globe to many other countries. August 10th is now an internationally recognized Memorial Day for the many people who have died while in forced state custody, whether they are men, women, or children. Whether they died in a police cell or a Canadian forced assimilation residential school or a jail, whether it was a reformatory, a prison, or a punitive training school, whether it was a workhouse, a penitentiary, a prisoner of war camp, or a death camp, an experimental hospital such as those run by doctors under the direction of Nazis, or a Canadian internment camp, or a secret CIA experimental hospital, or a psychiatric hospital, or any of the variety of different ways that human beings lock other human beings up. August 10th also recognizes prisoners who die in a community hospital bed after being moved from a prison just before death. The state sidesteps a mandatory coroner's inquest if the prisoner does not actually die in prison. This practice skews the accuracy of Canadian prison death rates and avoids the responsibility for and the damning testimony about prison conditions, disease, negligence, and medical mistreatment. August 10th, in my opinion, is for anyone who died in forced custody, whether they were labeled criminal or political, whether medical negligence or a beating caused death, whether abuse, disease, old age, shock treatment, or experimentation killed them, whether a heart attack, overdose, shooting, gassing, asphyxiation, stabbing, or state execution ended their life. If starvation, electrocution, hanging, murder, or suicide stopped their hearts, I observe their suffering and their passing. There can be no natural deaths in prison, and there should be no exclusion from August 10th memorials if they died in custody. Whether they died today or 200 or 1,000 years ago, They are the souls with whom, as prisoners, family, and friends of prisoners, we share a common bond in the human family. This silent, peaceful protest and remembrance is a personal occasion for prisoners, families, and friends to mark the value of those who were held in chains and lost behind the fences, bars, and walls. You know, hold a candle in your heart and remember all of them.